This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the Bristol Confringe reading series.
Okay, and welcome back, everybody. Our second reader for tonight has a glowing resume. He's written for all sorts of franchises from TV, including that fellow with the police box and lots of other wonderful people, including the Tomorrow People. Fascinating. And he also writes lots of comics, including Banana Man, Roger the Dodger, and Minnie the Minx, which, and apparently they're still exactly the same as they were when I was a kid, which is totally bizarre and utterly incredible. But anyway, so to entertain us for the next half hour, please welcome Mr. Kevin Scott.
Thank you very much. This could be the epitome of from the sublime to the ridiculous. As Cheryl said, most of the stuff I write is for other people with other people's characters, which is a wonderful safety blanket. Tonight I'm going to break that mold by reading some of my own stuff, both of which are a bit younger heart, to say, I could say. But as the good doctor said himself, there's no point growing up if you can't be childish every now and then. So the first extract I'm going to read you is from a YA novel I'm writing at the minute, whose origin comes in the superheroes I created when I was 11, which I recently found in an exercise book, a team to rival the Avengers in just every way by ripping off the Avengers in about every way. And they've fallen into a story that I wanted to write for a while, if Marvel ever was stupid enough to let me loose on their characters, which they haven't been yet. So this is a story that the minute has the title The Superhero's Ghost, and it's a world where superheroes are very real and replace the pop stars and football stars of our own world. Jaden was dead, officially dead, or at least he would be when his mum got hold of him. He fished his phone out of his coat pocket, half expecting to see a text flashing across the screen. You are so grounded, young man. The display was empty. No messages. Not yet. She'd find out, though. She always did. It was like she was telepathic, or at least had a sixth sense that buzzed whenever he did anything remotely out of line. He could imagine her now, sitting in her office, the hairs on the back of her hands standing on end. Somehow she would know that her son was up to no good. That he was skipping school. Why did I let you talk me into this? Jaden groaned, slouching against the bus stop. Because of this, numbnuts, came the eager reply. I told you it was ridiculous. Jaden looked up to see his best friend hopping from one foot to the other like an overexcited toddler. Daniel Elaine was staring wide-eyed at the video game he held in trembling hands. You would think that the plastic case was the greatest treasure ever discovered, lost for millennia and unearthed in a far-off tomb, rather than snatched from the shelves of Rad, a grotty little game store in the centre of Bristol. Seriously, Jay, how long have we been waiting for this game? Dan said, his voice catching. Jay really hoped he wasn't about to start crying. Omega League Legends, it's going to be awesome! He could be such a big kid at times. Jay's own copy was safely stowed in his bag, still in its shrink wrap. Dan had ripped his free even before they were out of the store. But why couldn't we have waited till the end of school to come into town? Jay asked. It's not like we can play it till we get back to yours anyway. Dan gave the kind of look he only usually reserved for non-geeks, or idiots, as he liked to call them. You're such a tool at times, he said. The reason we can wait is that we've got it first. Ashley Sanford is going to be so gutted that we got this before him. Yeah, until Carney puts us in detention for a week. Dan slapped the case into Jay's chest. How's he going to find out? You're at the dentist, and I've got to see Dr. Lane about my athlete's foot, remember? We've got notes and everything. Jay still wasn't convinced, even as he took the case from Dan and examined the cover. There they all were, the Omega League, the world's greatest superheroes, ready for battle, as always. The Sovereign, Atomic Boy, Dark Stranger, Bulldog, and the rest. Dan was right. They had been waiting for this game for years. But now you can be the hero, the box pro promised. Even though he was ribbing his mate, Jay couldn't wait. Dan had already got first dibs at playing as the Sovereign, but that was okay. Jay could be the Stranger or maybe Sunburn. Yeah, being Sunburn would be cool. And as long as they got back to school before morning break, no one would know. Jay smiled, passing the game back to Dan. And his life changed forever. He didn't know it at the time, of course. All Jay heard was the explosion and the scream. Beside him, Dan nearly jumped out of his skin. "Did that come from Cabot Circus?" Dan asked, as a second explosion blasted out of the nearby shopping centre, sending a flock of spooked pigeons spiralling into the air. Jay could have predicted what would happen next. The sensible thing was to run in the opposite direction as fast as they could. The sensible thing was to get as far away from here as possible. Dan didn't know the meaning of the word sensible. He was off and running in an instant, pelting towards the covered shops, towards the screams. Genius. Jaden set off after him, calling his name. But once Dan got an idea into his head, there was no stopping him, especially if the idea was a suicidally stupid one. Dan was already at the entrance to the shopping centre when he was forced to skid to a halt. A man leapt in front of him, shooting across his path. No, he hadn't leapt. He'd been thrown. The bulky figure smashed through the large maps that welcomed visitors to the shops, shards of metal and glass spilling across the floor in a wide arc. He hit the pavement and rolled onto Penn Street, narrowly avoiding a car that had to swerve to avoid the tumbling body. Jaden nearly barreled into the back of his friend. "Dan, we need to get away right now." "No way, you know that is, don't you?" "Yes, which is why we've got to leave." He tugged at Dan's arm, but his friend didn't budge. He was just staring in disbelief at the figure, who, despite crashing through two thick metal signs, was shaking his head as if he'd just been whacked by a feather pillow instead. Jaden couldn't stop staring himself. The guy was easily 2 meters tall and dressed head to foot in black leather that creaked as he stood, the Greek letter Omega embossed on each massive shoulder. In itself, his sheer size would have stopped traffic, but then there was his head. His gigantic, monstrous head. Not the head of a man, but of a huge bulldog! Dan half laughed, unable to contain himself. "You're the British bulldog!" The dog man wiped a slab-like paw across his lips, checking for blood, before glowering at the dumbstruck boys from beneath heavy brows. "Yeah, and this is no time for autograph, kids. Scram!" His voice was like someone gargling gravel. Jaden nodded, still trying to drag Dan back down the street. "Yes, sir, right away, this is us scramming, yep." Not that the bulldog was listening. He was already trudging back into the shopping centre, brushing fragments of glass from his shoulders. There was a flash of yellow, and in the blink of an eye, the bulldog was joined by another familiar figure. The only difference was that this one was as beautiful as the bulldog was beastly. "No way!" Dan breathed, scrabbling in his pocket for something. "Quick fire too. This is immense." Jay's best mate wasn't wrong for once. The bulldog and quick fire, two of the Omega League, right here in Bristol. Mad. Both Jaden and Dan have been fans of the league for as long as they remember. They had all the licensed comics, the figures. They were members of the official fan club. When he was a kid, Jay had filled scrapbook after scrapbook of newspaper cuttings, magazine profiles, and interviews with the superheroes, devouring anything and everything to do with them. And here he was, standing a few steps from two honest-to-goodness, genuine Omegans. The only snag was, if Jay and Dan didn't get away sharpish, they'd end up in someone else's scrapbook, as victims. "Are you okay, Bull?" Quickfire asked. She was wearing her usual slim-fit yellow uniform, especially designed so that she didn't spontaneously combust every time she burst into a sprint. As the world's fastest girl, Quickfire could run at speeds that Olympic champions or bullet trains could only dream about. Now concern was etched across the perfect face beneath the translucent green visor that protected her while running. She reached out and touched her teammate's arm. "I've never seen you hit so hard." "I'll be fine if these idiots would do one." The bulldog shot an annoyed look at the boys. "What did I tell you?" Jaden opened his mouth to apologise, but his words were lost in the roar of another blast. He whirled around. Cabot Circus was in chaos. Windows were blown out, burning stock scattered across the floor. The escalator leading up to the upper story was also on fire, shoppers pelting towards the entrance, running for their lives. Well, that's what it looked like at first. Then Jaden realised the shoppers weren't trying to get away. They were attacking. Their bodies were wrong somehow, limbs longer than they had any business to be. Metal plates were sliding over their arms, across their faces. No, not sliding. They were growing like silver mould. Dan grabbed Jay's arms, pulling him forward into the shops. "Come on, we're going the wrong way. Are you kidding?" Dan ducked behind beneath the staircase and poked his head around the corner to get a closer look at the carnage. I would never get a better chance. Chance for what? To get killed? To see them in action? Dan's phone was in his hand as he tracked the bulldog lolloping back to the shopping centre, although the smartphone's camera didn't stand a chance of capturing Quickfire's supersonic return to battle. In front of them, a mutating shot worker grappled the bulldog. She was half his size but still managed to knock him from his feet. The British bulldog, half man, half animal, 120 kilos of muscle, floored by what looked like a skinny 18-year-old girl. Okay, so the skinny 18-year-old girl had arms that were rapidly transforming into razor-sharp scythes, but it was still unbelievable to see. What's happening to them? Jay said, pulling at Dan's coat. I think it's got something to do with her, Dan replied, looking at his screen, his voice suddenly not as sure as it had been a minute ago. He thumbed the phone zoom, the picture picking up a woman hanging in the air above the mayhem like an avenging goddess, arms outstretched. Long tapered claws stretched out from her fingers like knives, her body seemingly sculpted from free-flowing liquid metal. Jay's heart froze. Oh God, he breathed, finally realizing just how much danger they were in. Oh God, oh God, oh God! They were dead. Officially dead. Thank you very much. The next one is also to do with school kids. So apologies. This is for a series of books, a short stories really, I've been writing for a series produced by a company called Badger Learning, who send books into school for kids who are reluctant readers. And so these are aimed at some teenagers who never usually pick up a book, but hopefully, because these are smaller short story books, they will. And this is the beginning of the one that comes out next week, and it's called Billy Button. Billy Button had green skin. At the time, Liam didn't think anything of it. After all, Billy wasn't the same as other boys. He came and went as he pleased. One minute he wasn't there, the next he had appeared at Liam's side, ready to play, ready to cause trouble. Billy could do anything he wanted. Nothing stopped him, not rules, not parents, not teachers. He could even walk through walls, because Billy wasn't real. Liam hadn't thought about his imaginary friend for years, until this morning in fact, until he had been rifling through the drawer beneath his bed and felt something cold and hard against his fingers. He brought the object out and stared at it in amazement. A big green button. He'd had it since he was five. His grandma used to let him play with the buttons from her sewing kit. He spent hours sorting them to different shapes and colours. The big green button was his favourite, and one day she said he could take it home. It was the same day he met Billy. Liam was playing in the garden on his own, no brothers or sisters, not since the accident, not since they lost Marcus and Dad. So he made up his own brother, a boy his own age, just a bit taller, with long arms and legs, like a spider. A mop of unruly hair sat on Billy's head, and his eyes shone like pinpricks of light. The first Billy would come whenever Liam held Grandma's button, tight in his fist. Soon he could call Billy without need of the button, although he always kept it in his pocket anyway. Liam was never lonely when Billy was around, never scared. Billy always knew what to do to cheer him up, flashing that cheeky, lopsided grin. Even Mum got used to Billy being around, although she couldn't see him, of course. Sometimes she even set an extra place at dinner, not that Billy liked her cooking. Oh, that's rank, he'd complain, pulling the funniest faces. Liam would try not to laugh, and fail. Mum didn't mind the giggling. She was just happy to hear Liam laugh again. She wasn't so glad when Liam started blaming Billy for things. Mum, Billy ate the last custard cream, not me. Billy lost my coat. Billy smashed your bars. Billy told me to run away. She lost her patience though. You need to grow up, young man, she snapped. Forget about Billy, live in the real world. Eventually, Liam did exactly that. He went to school, he made new friends, friends who were real, who Mum could see. And not one of them had green skin. Billy simply faded away, out of sight, out of mind, until today, until Liam found that button again. He had it in his hand right now, turning it over and over as he listened to Mr. Newman call out the register. The plastic was cold, even though it was the hottest day of the year. It'd always been the same, and until now, Liam had never thought it was odd. Mr. Newman continued through the names. John Mann, here. Helen Wright, here. Billy Button. Liam's head snapped up. What? He said out loud. Mr. Newman looked puzzled. Liam, is everything all right? Liam glanced around, feeling his face flush. Everyone was staring at him. Sorry, sir, it's just... His voice trailed off, someone sniggering at the back of the class. Liam swallowed, his mouth dry. The last name on the register, sir. Who was it? Mr. Newman checked the computer screen. Ben, he said. Ben Clifton. He turned to peer at Liam over his glasses. Is that okay? Liam's cheeks were now burning hot. Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, he muttered. Just thought you said someone else. Mr. Newman shook his head and carried on with the register. Liam felt an elbow nudging in the side. What was that about, you idiot? Said a fair-haired boy called Chris Hussey. Liam shook his head, staring at his desk as if his life depended on it. He could still put everyone's eyes on him. Nothing, he grunted. Just being stupid, it don't matter. Loser, Chris snorted. But he didn't mean it. Chris and Liam had been friends from the moment they met. Best friends. The button in Liam's hand grew colder than ever. By lunchtime, Liam was seriously freaking out. What was it with today? Yes, he'd been teased about his outpost during the register. He couldn't blame Chris. That's what you did, take the mick out of your mates. He'd cope with that. But it was the other stuff that bothered him. The stuff he couldn't explain. Stuff about Billy. He heard the name everywhere he went, whispered as he barged his way down the corridor, shouted across the playground, snatches a conversation. Billy Button, Billy Button. The same everywhere Liam went, that stupid, childish name, over and over again. Billy Button, Billy Button. It didn't make any sense. He'd never talked to anyone about Billy, not even Chris. Not because he was embarrassed, it wasn't that. Billy just wasn't important anymore. Billy Button, Billy Button. Things got worse as he made his way to geography, the last lesson, before lunch. He was keeping his head down, just trying to get through the day without going nuts. And then he walked past a kid from year 7. Did you hear what Billy Button did? I can't believe it. Liam whirled around and grabbed the younger pupil by his jumper, ramming the kid into the lockers. What did you say? Liam growled. Who are you talking about? The boy's eyes were wide as he stammered his reply. No one, he squeaked. Just someone we know. Billy Button? Asked Liam through gritted teeth. The kid was shaking now. I don't know who that is. Liam wasn't having that. Who put you up for this? He snarled. Who told you about Billy? The kid's mates had inched away from the lunatic from year 9 by now. I don't know what you're talking about, the boy squeaked. Please let me go. Another voice cut in, familiar and close at hand. Liam? Chris pulled Liam from the younger lad. What are you doing? The year 7 kid grabbed his bag and ran, scrabbling to get away. Liam didn't know what to say. Chris slapped him on the shoulder. Seriously, mate, what's wrong with you today? Liam shrugged. It's nothing, honest. Didn't look like nothing to me. Since when have you picked on little kids? I don't do that, Liam insisted. You sure? Chris said, pointing down the corridor. That kid looked really scared. Liam opened his mouth to reply, but stopped himself. What would he say? Oh, he was talking about my imaginary friend. Yeah, right. Chris would think he was mad. Perhaps he was. The bell rang. Come on, Chris said, gently shoving Liam towards the next class. Let's get going before you really get in trouble. Glowering, Liam thrust his hand into his pockets, his fingers brushed against the plastic button. Chris didn't sit next to Liam in geography. Instead, he found a chair at the back of the class next to Beverly Green. Any other day, Liam would have ribbed him about that. Chris and Beverly up in a tree. Chris would go bright red. Chris always went bright red when it came to girls, especially Bev. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Not today. Liam didn't feel like mucking about. He didn't feel like doing anything. He tried to lose himself in his work, to forget about the year 7 boy in the hallway. It was useless. Chris was right. The kid had been terrified because of him. What was wrong with him? He'd never acted like that. He hated bullies. Always had. It was Billy, Mum. Liam's skin crawled as the thought crossed his mind. Now he was freaking himself out. He rubbed his eyes with the heels of his palm. His hands were clammy. Perhaps he was coming down with something. That would explain it. Loads of people had been off with a tummy bug. It would explain why he felt so weird. The bell rang, lunchtime. Liam turned to Chris, but he was already gone. It didn't matter. He'd see him in the dinner hall. But he didn't. Chris was nowhere to be seen. Probably for the best. Liam didn't feel like talking to anyone anyway. Just get your lunch and get out of here, he thought to himself. Then what will we do? A voice thought back. Shut up, Billy, Liam murmured as he slopped fruit salad into his bowl. He grabbed his tray from the serving hatch and looked for somewhere to sit. A shoulder barged into him as he turned, angular, hard. Liam was knocked from his feet, his tray clattering against the floor. The bowl of fruit salad smashed against the tiles. Liam jumped back up, looking for who'd knocked him over, but there was no one there. One of the dinner ladies bustled over to him. You all right, love? Oh, look at all that fruit, such a waste. I'm fine, Liam said, just trying to ignore the feeling that everyone was staring at him for the second time that day. Here, I'll just clear that. He bent down to pick up the broken bowl and froze. A face was looking at him through the dining hall's large double doors. A face that was there 1 second, gone the next. Nothing more than a blur, but Liam recognised it immediately. The black hair, the bright eyes, the green skin. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. One last chance for people to replenish their glasses, and then we'll have a few questions.
BristolCon Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the BristolCon Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.